Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The Home Show with Sinead Ryan on News Talk.
Good morning. You're very welcome to The Home Show with me, Anna Daly, filling in for Sinead Ryan this morning. If you'd like to get involved in the show today, you can email us, thehomeshow@newstalk.com. And remember, you can listen back to the show on our podcasts on newstalk.com or on the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. Now, we're heading into the mouth of springtime very soon. So I wonder, do we all need a spring reset in our home? Well, Hazel Burton has all of the tips you need, and she's from The Home Reset, and she joins us now. Good morning to you, Hazel.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on this lovely March morning.
Yes, thank you for coming in to us. Now, I have to set out my stall here and be really honest, Hazel. I am one of those people, and I'm sure you've come across me lots of times, where I have, you know, tons of energy and I'm going to tackle this project and I'm going to declutter, and I love it, a good declutter. But I then, a couple of hours later, end up quite overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. The place looks like a bomb site.
Worse than when you began.
Exactly. Now, I do get there, but I'm all ears for tips and hacks and everything else, because it does get a little bit overwhelming, doesn't
it? Absolutely. And I think what you've done wrong there is probably pick an unrealistic, like maybe your goal for the space was unrealistic at the outset.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just start small, simple, small little areas of your home that you want just to freshen them up now that we're coming into spring.
Okay.
You want to select maybe under the stairs, not the whole downstairs of your house. It's impossible to try and do that in one day.
Yeah.
Maybe your wardrobe is packed. Maybe it's too difficult to do that in a day. But let's focus on an element of your wardrobe. So maybe let's look at our denims or our trainers, not the whole thing. Because I think what that gives us is a couple of things. Number one, it gives you a better sense of how long it actually takes you to do it properly.
Yeah, true.
And by having just small sections, you can go, well, actually, if I extrapolate that out over my whole wardrobe, I'll need a week. So let me just focus a bit at a time. You'll gain a bit more confidence.
Yeah.
You'll get better at making good decisions around decluttering. What is important is that we're picking a space that's smaller, but it's one category of item. Okay. So if you say under the stairs and you've got shoes there, but you also have shoes in your wardrobe, what you need to think about is doing all of your shoes, not under the stairs, because what you'll do then is make uninformed decisions about what you're letting go about under the stairs, because you'll disregard what's upstairs, and you need to be thinking of the whole category. So either you're picking one whole category, that's not an overwhelming amount, or one space in your home, small enough that you can get it done in a couple of hours, or if you've more energy, maybe half a day, but not a Saturday, your whole day gone decluttering. You're up to 90, and actually by the end of the day you're in bad form.
Yes.
You're not getting the benefit of, actually, look what I did here under the stairs or with my denims. Like, I feel more refreshed. I've got what I need there. I've let go of and donated, you know, the things that I no longer serve me or don't fit me now. But I'm in a good space. Like, I'm happy with what I've done and achieved, and I can pat myself on the back and then go about my Saturday.
Yeah.
And doing things I really want to do.
And there's no doubt when it's done, when you get there, that there's such a lovely feeling about being organised, even if it is just one corner of a room.
One corner, one counter, you know, just the weight off your shoulders of that sits in your mind. If you're sitting in a room where there's clutter, whether it's on the countertop, on the table, wherever everything gets dumped, even subconsciously, that's weighing on your mind as a job to be done and kind of annoying and niggling at your brain. It doesn't happen to everyone, and more often than not, it's women over men, just scientifically. That's what they say, that it would impact us more. But regardless of that, it's there all the time as a little job for you to do. And so once it's done, it is a weight off and your mind can now focus on what it wants to do.
Yeah, of course. Now, from going into people's homes, Hazel, I want to know, just the nosy me wants to know, whose rooms, like which rooms are more organised than others? Which do we seem to master better than others?
That is a good question. And I think it really depends on the person. So some people prioritise their kids' bedrooms, right? So they really want that their kids' bedrooms are a nice, tidy area and maybe let their own bedroom slip, which I would actually recommend that people start in their bedroom. If you're feeling overwhelmed at your whole house and now we want a fresh start, let's start in our rooms. Let's treat ourselves to that sanctuary, that, you know, space in our home that we can switch off and not feel stress and have a bit of calm. But in general, it really depends. Like, playrooms are always wild. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, playrooms are always crazy, or, you know, where people are storing their toys or kids, but they like that their bedrooms are tidy. And I think they feel more comfortable that their kids are more relaxed in their bedrooms. And I think just because kitchens are the heart of the home, I just think everyone struggles there. There's so many things happening in that room.
There's such a build-up of stuff in the kitchen, isn't there?
Categories, you know, because people are thinking, well, I need a junk drawer. I need somewhere to throw my bills. I need, all my food is going to live there. My kids are going to do their homework there. Maybe we're getting ready for, you know, work in the morning. Maybe we're working there. You know, like, we're really trying to, that's such a multi-purpose room, but we're really trying to force it to be everything, and we're spending the majority of our time in that space. So it will inevitably end up being the most difficult space to keep on top of.
Yeah.
Just because of the sheer volume of things that are in
there. And the traffic.
And the traffic, and the, maybe it's the, how you're getting out to your back garden as well. So it's in and out of there. And also utility rooms can be quite, I think people aren't maybe utilising that space. If you're lucky enough to have a utility room, which is my dream, I will get there. It would be like, I would love it. But if you have one, I think people just use it as a dumping ground.
I was just about to say that I have one. It's teeny tiny. It's not an Instagram, you know, version that we see all the time. It's a dumping ground and there's no organisation to it at all.
But I think, like for me, because my washing machine's in my kitchen, it means that when that's on, but we're trying to have a meal or people are over, it's like there's a plane landing in the middle of the room.
So towards the end of the cycle and it's going crazy.
So you're trying to find, but just to have that, like, even if it is a small space, but just think of all the things that should be in there and what absolutely shouldn't be in there. Even something small like that could be a good one for you to start with.
Yes, that could be a good one actually this weekend. You're dead right. Now, one of the things you say, Hazel, is love everything in your home. And I'm going to dispute that with you this morning, okay? Because I am surrounded by football boots, shin pads, football gear, little black micro dots that come off Astro pitches and fall out of everyone's runners all the time.
Yes.
So,
no, listen,
I'd love to love everything.
But I don't think it's love everything. I think it's like, do I need it?
Okay.
And do I want it? Or do I love it? I think it's one of the three categories, right?
Yes.
Your guys need those boots. They need that safety gear as much as we despise it. But, and you love certain other things. Like, it's not all encompassing. Like, every single item in your home isn't going to fall into all three. Do I need, love and want it?
Yes.
It'll fall in somewhere. And that's when you, that's how you decide whether or not it stays. And like I say all the time, if it is to go and you are moving it on, or your boys are ever grown it, donate it. Like, have your exit strategy from the outset. When you're beginning your utility this, you know, later today, tomorrow, whatever, over your weekend, just think about, well, what's in there that doesn't belong? Where is it going to go if it's leaving my home?
Yeah.
Like, just be thinking of those things as well at the offset. Otherwise, you're going to end up with bags of stuff at your door that never really go anywhere. Maybe in your boot, your car.
They stay in the boot. Yeah.
Stay in the boot, but have it as, bake in the time to get to charity, or put it up on, you know, the sites where you can sell it, or pass it to a friend.
Yeah.
Ensure that they actually want it, need it and love it and have space for it. You know, but bake in that time as well. So that actual, that last step of getting it, getting rid of it.
Yeah.
Whatever way that is. And bake that into your time as well. And then the job's complete.
It's such a good point, Hazel, because you end up with the box or the bin or the bin bag for the charity shop, the one for the, you know, the other recycling.
Textile recycling.
Yeah, maybe exactly.
Dogs trust if you've got teddy bears, because they accept those, and duvets they'll accept, you know, and it's just a little bit of research. And I think that's what really puts people off, sorry, is that they think, oh, there's so many runs I need to do now. But it's just a case of, and maybe, yeah, listen, it has to be done in order to do it properly.
Yeah.
And I think it's just to bake that time in and know where it's going.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Let me tell you one smart solution I have implemented in my house. It's just something I bought, but it just really works. Mm-hmm. So it's a, I call it a boot box, but it's a, you know, garden equipment, whatever container, right. Have it at the side of my house, and now the stinky football boots, rugby boots, everything go in there.
Fantastic.
And now it fills up pretty quickly with a lot of junk, so it obviously needs to be sorted out. But it means the stuff doesn't make it into the even into the porch.
Brilliant. So that's how they are coming home. And
they're coming home, they're taking the boots off and they go into the boot bin is what I call it. But I think it's probably just for, you know, cushions in a garden you know.
It's working for you. That's
it's a container,
idea.
It's plastic, and it couldn't be more basic, and it's outside.
I'm rocking that one.
You can steal that one. You can all have that. But I, every time I see that in operation, I go, okay, that was a great thing, but I need to do more of that.
Yes. And I love that you said, it's something I bought, but it is working, because I think people make the mistake of, I'm going to buy this box and the whole world's going to change.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be perfection. But in your instance, and everyone's following your system, so it's not a difficult one for them. It's really simple. Throw it in the box, lads. And it's done. Whereas if you try and put in this overly engineered system of then your denims go here and you have to fold them in this particular way, it's unrealistic for your kiddies to follow that.
Never going to work.
The fact that it's chuck it in the box, lads, and then every so often you're going to go through that for sizing, whatever, and just get, you know, then do your donations or whatever the case may be. It means you're happy it's not coming into the house. They don't really mind doing it because it wasn't a difficult task.
Yeah.
And it was something that you bought, but it's working. So I think people buy the thing and then hope that the system works. You thought about the plan, then just, you know, I'm sure research it, purchased it, and now it's working perfectly.
Yeah. So have you seen other solutions like that in your, because I know you've clients all over the place and some houses are probably perfect and some need a lot of help. So are there takeaways that you go, I'm going to copy that?
Well, generally it's I'm bringing the ideas.
You are bringing the ideas. Fair enough. No, good point.
No, of course, no. But it's sometimes it is just a fresh set of eyes. And a lot of, like I had a client, this I thought was classic, and I shared it on my Instagram and I use it when I can. So I know, do you know the swimming woggles that your kids would see? You know, the big long things
like
swimming pools. And sometimes, like my kids certainly when we go on holiday want to buy them when we're away. So this lady had a large selection of boots, okay, so high boots that weren't structured, like they were kind of flopping.
Oh, they all fall over, yeah.
So she had cut these woggles and put them inside.
To fill them.
To keep her boots standing up so that it looked, just to her eye, more aesthetic. So I was like, oh, your boots look so tidy there. Obviously, we were doing her bedroom, but not her shoe collection. Well, her shoe collection was actually massive, so we did declutter it. But it looked really neat and tidy, and she thought, oh, and she took out this foam woggle, which I just thought, like, it was a much cheaper solution to what you can actually purchase to do the same job.
Yes.
And again, just reusing stuff that she had in her shed.
Clever.
You know, from her kids' paddling pool days, whatever.
Yeah, clever.
Loads of things. And I think, product isn't always the answer, but sometimes there's just really clever solutions out there. And I think, I don't know that you can ever beat a Lazy Susan, just because with kitchens, even with your perfumes, your cosmetics, whatever, in a press, to bring the back of that press to the front, having a spinner.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, and there's all different types of like bamboo, but also acrylic, plastic, whatever, they all do them. And again, it just brings that back of the press to the front so you can access and see everything that you have. Because that's what it's about. If you're hiding stuff at the back and you don't know what's there,
it's not being used.
It's not being used. You'll probably buy it again.
Yeah.
It'll go out of date once you've opened, you know, 12 months down the line, you can't use it any longer. Things like sun creams, like there's loads of things that people do as hacks. And, you know, another thing is, and again, I use the Lazy Susan for sun creams in our house, but I'll also date them when I open them. So again, we haven't used sun cream in a while. So what you had open last year is likely gone off now and won't actually work or be an active ingredient. So by writing with a permanent marker the date that you open that, then you'll be confident, well, actually, this is still working by the end of the summer.
That's very organised, but that is your business. So I'd expect nothing less, Hazel.
I still wouldn't have you for a cup of tea. I'd have to do a lick before you came.
Well, I'm glad we all have to do that. You mentioned the Lazy Susan. Is that what we're Googling when we're looking to buy one of those? And also, my bathroom is another place where I've got bottles everywhere. And no matter how often I clean, it still looks quite cluttery.
Okay.
And I know some people do tiered Lazy Susans, which actually makes much more sense, doesn't it? To get it off the...
Do you know, I don't particularly recommend the
tiered
ones. Only because I think what you struggle with then is getting them out from the that bottom layer. Like the bottles might... I just don't find them amazing, to be honest. I think there's way better solutions. And it depends on your... And we can
They're gimmicky, are they?
Picture, but I think they can be a quality of yet to see a really good one. And I think it's hard to beat some of the bigger brands for quality. And I think it's just about research. And I wouldn't necessarily just Google a Lazy Susan. You have to measure. You have to, you know, be sure that it's going to work in the set base that you have. If it's a drawer that you're talking about, it's not a Lazy Susan that you need.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
Because it's what you need is some, you know, Lazy Susan's work in presses, not so much when you're looking down on top.
Of course. Okay. Hazel, when I look at your social media and your Instagram, it makes me want to get organised. So there's so much inspiration there. Remind us of the handle.
It's @thehomereset.ie.
Brilliant. Hazel Burton from The Home Reset. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Now, how much have you been quoted to paint your house? If your situation means you can't get it done professionally, well, what are the options? Can we do it ourselves? Is that too much to take on? Well, Paula McCarthy is the founder of Paula McCarthy Interiors, and she joins me now. Good morning to you, Paula.
Morning, Anna.
Thank you for coming in to us.
Thank you for having me.
I am in need of a paint in my house, so let me give you the scenario. We moved into our house 9 years ago, right, when grey was the big thing.
Yeah.
So every room in my house is grey. And I really need to have, I need to change it up.
We need to change that.
We need to change that. You're absolutely right. And I will. But there's been a lot of conversation about the cost of having your home painted. It's really expensive. And painters, professional painters, are out the door, aren't they?
Yeah, they're absolutely out the door. And I think it's probably, especially since COVID, people are looking at their homes in a very different way because they're spending a lot more time at home and they're a bit more maybe house proud than, you know, if they're in and out of the door, they're not thinking so much about their home. But now people are spending so much more time at home. They want things to look nice. And, you know, the first thing to refresh your home is get a painter in. So it is expensive, but, you know, it all depends on, you know, are you doing an entire house? Are you doing a room? Are you doing a ground floor? Materials have gone up significantly in the last couple of years. Like, there's just a huge amount of, I suppose, cost involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, apologies in advance to my painter friends out there, but you could do it yourself. You definitely could do, or even some of it, if you decided to do a few rooms and not the entire house. It is something that can be done.
Which I think is a realistic way to start, isn't it? Pick a room and go from there maybe. So we're not crazy for wanting to maybe try it ourselves.
No, you're not crazy. You need a hell of a lot of patience.
Okay.
Because it generally takes longer than you're going to think. and there's usually a huge amount of prep work as well. Like if you want to get a flawless finish in your walls, you have to start with really good prep work. If you have holes in the wall, if you have a few cracks that need to be filled, all of that slow, tedious stuff really should be done before you ever get a paintbrush out. So you want to be properly committed to the job.
So yeah, if I'm thinking, you know, it's a lovely mindful exercise actually before you get to the painting part, which is quite kind of therapeutic in a way, isn't it? There's a lot of prep work to be done. So where do we start? Researching your style, first of all.
Yeah, I think before you buy any paint, you need to decide what's the end game here? You know, what you want your house to look like. Are you simply just doing a refresh of the existing colours, or do you want to change things up? And I think if you do want to change things up, but you're not really sure where to go or what to do, like taking a look at interiors magazines or supplements or Instagram, Pinterest are really good places to start, just to kind of get the juices flowing in terms of kind of what's out there, what you're drawn to as well. What I say to a lot of people about colour is don't fall down the rabbit hole of trends and trending colours, because, you know, for example, at the moment, brown is a trending colour. Mm. If you hate brown, do not paint your house brown.
Because you'll be looking at it for nine
exactly.
years in my case.
Exactly. You know, you've got to really love the colour yourself and, you know, stay true to your own style, because trends are a way of selling more product. You know,
yes.
The people who follow trends are the people who, you know, will want to change the colour in their house every couple of years. And you don't need to do that. But, you know, as I say, don't fall down that rabbit hole. But, you know, for example, if you do love bold colours, don't be afraid to go with a bold colour. But just bear in mind that if you're planning on, in your case, waiting another 9 or 10 years to paint again, you're probably going to get sick of bold colours a bit more quickly than you will neutral colours.
Okay, so that's an important consideration. Tell me about what I keep seeing on all of the interiors social media platforms, including your own, this colour drenching, which looks so beautiful, by the way. But is it practical and is it achievable if we're doing the painting ourselves?
It is highly achievable because in terms of practicality, you actually have only to use one paint colour. So you're actually eliminating the kind of, you know, painstakingly going around the skirting or where the ceiling meets the wall in terms of where the colours change. So if you're doing the one colour on everything, it's actually a lot easier to do. I think it looks amazing. It makes such a huge difference to a room. It actually makes a room feel bigger, believe it or not. I always kind of use the kind of comparison of, you know, ladies going out for a night out and you're wearing maybe a dress with strappy sandals. Strappy sandals make your legs look shorter, whereas if you don't have straps, your legs look longer. So it's the same weird way of putting it to kind of interiors. If you have a white skirting, it's actually just cutting off the bottom of the room. So if you have just the one colour, it actually just makes everything feel taller. It makes the ceiling feel taller and the room just feel much bigger. So I don't think it's necessarily a trend that's, you know, just a trend. I think it's a gorgeous way to...
Okay, that's very interesting because I thought, and that's a great analogy, by the way, because females listening will totally get that. The strap cuts the leg, so it makes it look shorter. And I get it. So the flow of the room goes right over your head and down and around again.
Yeah. And I think the ceiling is... It's the wall. I treat it as the fifth wall. It is the wall that everybody forgets about. And it's like, why do ceilings have to be white? They don't. It was just a traditional...
It's what we're used to, Paula.
We need to break out of that. But it is just, you know, it's something that can give you a little bit more of a wow factor in a room.
So
for example, and this might be a little bit out there, I'm doing a project at the moment with a client and we are going with like a taupey colour on the walls. The ceiling is going to be black and we're going to bring about a foot around every edge of the walls, bring it down a foot as well. So it's like not just the ceiling, it's the ceiling and the top of the walls is going to be black.
Wow. And is that not closing in the room on you now?
Well, in this particular instance, the client has high ceilings.
Okay. It's a gigantic gaff.
No, it's actually not. It's a townhouse.
Okay.
It just happens to have high ceilings. But I think there is this, you know, when I'm doing colour consultations, a lot of people, if I suggest dark colours, they go straight to, is that going to make the room feel smaller? Or are we going to feel closed in? You're not. It's just a colour. It's just, it's a drastic difference to what you might be used to. But it doesn't. It's like, you know, in things like a living room. So, for example, if you have a north-facing living room, I would, you know, tend to tell people, if you're brave enough, go actually really dark in that room, because it's a dark room anyway. You're kind of fighting the darkness and trying to make it lighter. So do you want to keep fighting the darkness or do you want to make it
a
cozy room?
Okay, yeah. And there's nothing like a gorgeous, cozy room that feels very designer. And it does when the colour travels all the way around it. Talk to me about paint and supplies and materials. Where do we need to be going? What do we need to be looking for if we are doing it ourselves, Paula?
If only it was just paint that you buy. It's all the other stuff around the fringes that you need as well. Like, I mean, you do need obviously brushes, rollers if you're using or if you have kind of big walls. It's a lot quicker than just using brushes. You need roller trays. Masking tape is really handy when you're kind of taping off, we'll say, around architraves or doors or windows or that kind of thing. Or even if you've got light fittings that you're not taking down, you just put masking tape around the edges of those so you don't get paint on them. You also need kind of things like putty knives, or if you're filling holes, you need filler. And this is kind of where I would say to people, if you have a less than straightforward job, as in if it's, you know, if you're in a brand new house that there's no blemishes and it's an easy paint, that's one thing. But for most of us, there's always some blemish somewhere and there's cracks that need filling or whatever it is. If that's the case, I kind of tell people, go to where the pros shop as opposed to somewhere else.
Okay.
Because there is, you know, really skilled people who work in those shops who know exactly what you need. You can talk to them, give them, here's my problem. I've got some damp on the wall or whatever it is. And they will actually just give you proper advice.
Now, where do the pros shop?
Trade shops. They're like local painting and decorating shops.
Okay.
You know, there's plenty of them around the country. I suppose it's kind of more you know, not where painting is a tiny section of a much bigger shop. You probably need to go to a shop where painting is what they do.
Yeah, the purist.
Exactly.
So okay.
If you see painters' vans outside, that's where you need to be going.
Brilliant. Okay. We'll have a new appreciation for painters by the end of this job. There's no doubt about it. And then get painting. Don't be afraid to be adventurous and enjoy it, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I've done it myself and I do find the actual painting process really therapeutic. I absolutely hate the prep and I hate the cleanup.
The cleanup is the hardest part, isn't it?
Yeah. And even, you know, making sure you have a wet cloth by your side for anything that, you know, that may spill. But it can be therapeutic. Some people just wouldn't touch it with a barge pole.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are that way inclined that you think, you know what, I can give it a go myself. It's not rocket science. You know, it's just about having proper time that you can put into it. And you got to make sure as well that you do give yourself proper time. And even thinking about, you know, if it gets dark at 4 o'clock, don't start at lunchtime because,
yeah,
you know, you won't be able to see anything.
But also, a bit like Hazel with the storage solutions we were chatting earlier on, don't try and do the whole job in one day or one afternoon or one weekend. You know, you have to be able to take time, put the brushes down, don't you, and breathe.
Well, like for, you know, professional painters, if you ask them to paint, you know, a 3-bedroom house, it might take them 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's full time. So it actually does take a really long time. So if you can bring somebody in to help you or, you know, some ways to kind of help you along, that would be most helpful for you.
Of course. And it's so satisfying then to look at those walls and think, I did it myself.
It is. It definitely is. And it's, you know, it's something that you can, you know, you can do it. It is a bit of hard graft, but it's well worth it when you actually, it seems like a daunting task at the start. But once you get to the other side of it, you're so proud of what you've done and you've transformed your room.
Yeah. And maybe start with the box room or somewhere that's a bit more achievable. A couple of quick tricks before we go, Paula.
Yeah.
Painting the radiator the same as the walls is a good idea.
Yeah, definitely.
In every situation.
In most situations, I would say, yeah. It's, you know, it is that big, ugly
must-have
in so many houses. It's different if you have underfloor heating, obviously, because if you use radiator covers everywhere, they actually block some of the heat coming out. So if you're in a situation where you don't want to do that or to block the heat, just paint the radiator. If you've painted your walls green, paint that green as well and it'll just recede into the wall.
Yeah, it just blends.
Yeah.
Camouflage. Keep brushes from drying while you're in the middle of the job.
Yeah, so if you're, you know, if you put a brush down and you've decided you want to use a roller for a while to try and get through that gigantic wall that's looking at you, it's to kind of avoid the brush that you have been using drying out. So when you want to pick it back up again, you want it to still be wet. Just wrap it in a Ziploc bag and just stop the air getting into it so it won't dry out.
Great tip. And we'll go one more, will we? If you're painting the stair spindles, oh, this is brave now, isn't it?
So if you are a painter and you're listening, just stop listening now. Because this is probably...
Don't be driving people away, Paula.
Not something that painters would probably do, but I have done this myself. So painting spindles, especially if you have maybe 2 flights of stairs or 1 going into an attic, it is a painful job. So what I have done in the past is you put on a latex glove,
okay,
a sock over the glove, dip your hand, like dip the sock into the paint and squeeze a little bit out and just wrap your hand around the spindle and move the paint along the spindle that way. You still need a brush at the top and the bottom.
Okay.
But it just moves the paint so much quicker than if
you're very clever.
Brush the whole way around every spindle.
That's genius.
Well, I think it is.
There is lots more inspiration on your Instagram page and I love the colours you have in those rooms. Paula McCarthy. From Paula McCarthy Interiors, thank you very much.
Thank you, Anna.
Time now to welcome interior architect Natasha Rocca Devine, who's going to tell us all about spring-summer interior trends that we need to be looking out for. Good morning to you,
morning.
Natasha.
How are you doing, Anna?
Nice to have you here and be with you here.
It's great.
Where do we start? Spring, of course, around the corner.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm a spring summer person, so I absolutely love designing and giving tips for this. So I suppose from a very simple point of view, I would say to start with colour. You know, start with earthy tones or spring tones. I mean, spring, I suppose people associate with yellow and things like that, but I think that's a bit too much. So I would say like earthy paint colours, you know, whether it's a pastel pink or a pastel kind of terracotta, or bringing in like, you know, accessories with terracotta, just looking around your own home. I always say this to everyone, I can give you all the colours under the sun, but it has to appeal to your own house that you're living in. So say if your palette's quite dark and green, then go for like a lighter green or a complementary cream or mauve. And then if it's a pink colour, you know, just, I suppose, just mix and match to what you have.
Yes.
But look for lighter colours. And whether that's just accessories, Anna, whether it's upcycling something you have, whether it's going brave and wallpaper or something on a larger scale, if you're thinking of renovating, you know, doing wallpaper or, you know, even a kitchen or bathroom, just thinking about that, like short term and long term for the space that you're in.
Yes, of course. And it is a lovely time of year because it feels brighter.
Yeah.
But with that comes us seeing more and realising, actually, I need to change a lot about this house.
Yeah, 100%. You're like, you can see the dirt.
Exactly. Like, on the windows, especially.
I have a 3.5-year-old and 2 dogs. So you can see them ever, the paw prints and the handprints. So
yes.
And definitely on glass and things like that. Yeah. So I always feel that it always has to apply to your budget, your style and you know, your lifestyle. If you're going to be hosting a lot, then invest in, you know, tablescaping. I love the design table, you know, Tara O'Connor.
Yes.
Absolutely gorgeous, like spring accessories. And that's a really simple way of bringing spring in. If you're a person that's, you know, has children and just needs to keep the budget practical and you know it's going to be wrecked, then you can do things like couch covers or cushions or, you know, rugs and accessories. So bring it in kind of a more accessory point of view. But it really depends if you're going full scale, as I said. It's, you can bring it in your furniture. You can get a new couch. You can get it put in wallpaper. It really depends on where you're at. But I definitely think spring colours are so lovely.
I think you're right about the tablescapes as well, because if you have a fairly simple backdrop in terms of the kitchen or the room that you're hosting in, you know, being creative and going a bit bolder with the place settings and the tablecloth and the runner, and they're easy little tweaks, aren't they,
100%.
To make?
And then you can even get things in like NCMCS. Oh, sorry, I always get this wrong. NCBI, basically, and cancer research and all the charity shops. So I absolutely love them for all their tableware, Anna. Like, they're absolutely gorgeous. They're usually from, like, you know, an old auction or like someone's donated from, you know, that was really sentimental to a family, let's say.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely beautiful to put in, you know, with nice bright like tablescaping, you know, a bit of vintage and character into them, like whether it's candle holders or like, you know, accessories, things for butter, like glasses, or and that they can be used for Christmas as well. So I'm always thinking, like, you want to adapt what you're getting as well. That could be kind of brought into autumn in a different way and complement other colours.
And also, you make a really good point about the charity shops, Natasha, because we used to I remember when we got our first house, you're trying to make everything perfect and everything match and, you know, a theme and, you know, this flow. Actually, when I think about the, you know, the interiors accounts that I follow on Instagram, there's a mishmash of all sorts of different textures and colours, and nothing needs to match.
No, not
just
at all.
Interesting.
And it has to appeal to you. Like, design, I have my version, you have your version, and it has to appeal to you and your family. And I'm always like trying to save money and be sustainable and stay practical. And at the end of the day, if you spend an absolute fortune on a pot or, like, you know, a vase and someone drops it, like, especially if you've got kids, like, you're just, you know, it's not worth the stress. Whereas if you mix and match, you can invest in one or two. It's like clothes. You can mix and match in your really expensive key pieces, but then mix it up and mix the colours and mix the fabrics. But I do think spring is a really great time to have fun and summer, because as you said, the days are lighter, hopefully, and the days are lighter and you're having more people over. There's more interaction, I think, and things get messy. You know, you need to have enjoy it as well. It can't be, you know, it's not for a photo shoot or for me for a show home. This is for real life. So
yeah, and I'd love a show home, but you can't have it when you live in a house.
And I think I would suggest, though, before you move into that, is to look at Pinterest, create a board, or put together, if you like, cutouts of magazines. I'm very old school. I love like
tear sheets
and stuff like that. You know, and just, or even on your phone, save down images. And like, so you're not wasting money. You're not just putting lots of random things either and going out and buying too much, you know, and thinking, can I use this further down the line, or re-gift it to someone else. So, you know, all of those things I think are really fun. But I do think hosting and entertainment and connecting is very much about spring and summer.
Yeah. And you know what? The presentation of the table is as important as the food, isn't it?
100%.
Just sense. It's so lovely to do it.
It'll be kind of bland and you get away with it if you have like the design table and some, you know, if it's done really nice. And also people, Irish people love people. Like we're storytellers, people like chats and drinks, let's be honest, you know. So it's all about that and it's about the atmosphere and enjoying things, whether it's a date, whether it's 20 of your family, whether it's your friends or a kid's party. It's just about, you know, making that fun and, as I said, bring it to life for your own.
You're right. Style. And people often say they remember how they felt in your company or in your house. It's how people feel. Yeah.
100%. Absolutely.
Can I ask you, because the other big theme is in interiors and in everything, I suppose, at the moment, and rightly so, is sustainability.
Absolutely.
In terms of our choice, if we're looking at carpets, rugs, you know, new couches, what should we be thinking about in terms of sustainable options, Natasha?
I think from me, I just built my own house. I'm actually doing some, like I'm launching out to press soon. And I really worked so hard on myself. Like I went, you know, I took a step back and researched brands. And I think the most important thing is to look at the sustainability ethos or of the company, you know, like looking at them. And like Anna, nobody's 100% and no one's going to get it that way. And like at the end of the day, it's about trying. And that's what I'm always about. Like if you're recycling, you're doing your best, and the same with brands. But look to brands that are sustainably conscious. Like for example, in our house, I have concertina stone. So it's probably one of the only houses, only because I was building at this time, that has, they're all carbon neutral, the stone in the house. Instead of going for tiles and stuff, which I love, my family were from Rocket Tiles, I chose Decton and Silestone, which are carbon neutral mineral. Like, you know, they're just incredible and they're so beautiful. So just, it's about like research and looking at the brands. And then, for example, we went with Sunnis, who have water saving products. And it's simple things, Anna, like the faucets are just water saving and you don't even notice, like they're low flow and things like that. They just release the water slower. You don't notice it, but it's saving you.
Did you
water.
Just say faucet instead of tap?
I do you know what I was doing? I was doing an interview about it and Sunnis have told me it's faucet. I was like, I have to get it to the marketing campaign.
I was going
to
go, I bet you have American clients and that's why it starts
it's to. It's because Sunnis have said that to me because like, they sell it like that. No, but yeah, the tap, everything.
That's very international.
You know, it is. But yeah, the things like that. And then, you know, I think for my, for example, my kitchen doors are Cucina Libby Ireland and they're grey ash instead of lacquer, which is beautiful. And I'm all for whatever suits you. You know, you can't push it on people either.
No.
And then energy efficient lighting. We've like things like Map Britain are hardwood engineered Irish floors. And that's another thing, Anna, is going with local companies. So
of course, like keeping the business
the
local.
Business local. And if you're going Constantina, for example, or Spanish, but then they're stone, you can't get in Ireland. So it's offsetting things and mixing it with charity shops and looking around and going to, like, I love Max Warehouse. Have you ever been there, Max Salvage?
Do you know what? Someone was talking about that this week.
Oh, I'm obsessed. It's like,
tell us where it is and what they're selling. I want to know everything.
Yeah, it's Camino. It's just off before you go on to the M50. It's absolute, it's Pandora's box. Like you have like luminous gnomes as you drive in. And because I did the Salvage Squad, we used this for the show, the TV show. But you literally have everything. So from a builder's point of view, builders go and get like old hand door handles and like everything, doors, their gardens, like things for the garden. They have old gilded, like in my house, all our mirrors are gilded from the Max Warehouse. You can get literally anything under the sun there. It's such a dream. Take your family.
So is this kind of auction lots and...
But it's kind of a warehouse. You just walk
consignment
around.
Stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Incredible. But you can get everything and high end and old art and it's just like old chairs and you can upcycle them, say, if you wanted to mix and match, but just incredible place. So I'm thinking like mixing all of that and like looking to vintage, looking to charity shops, going local, also supporting local artists and like designers and, you know, for my latest show home, we worked with Kieran Hyland, for example, like a local artist in Portlaoise, and looking to your local artists, looking to your local designers and like thinking outside the box for everything that you're doing. And
I agree.
For me, it's sustainability. It's not just going 100% sustainable, Anna.
Because when people hear sustainable, it's a bit like the organic label. They go, oh, it's going to be more expensive.
No,
but actually, you know, even just keeping the business local is a great first step.
100%. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I don't like to be preached at myself and I don't like to preach when I share tips or when I share things. I said, this works for me, it might not work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, there are options out there. Do your research. Obviously, people can email me or DM me and ask me questions. But it's really about just doing what you can, you know, and suiting yourself at the end of the day. Like, it has to work for you. You know, you can't go off and spend money that you don't have on something that you don't need either. It has to really work to what you're looking for. And
of course,
we have so many amazing options in Ireland. So.
Yeah. Can I talk to you as well, speaking of sustainability, you know, circular economy, keeping pieces alive. I actually did this upcycling job with an armchair from my mother and father-in-law from their house. So they were getting rid of them. I couldn't take them all, obviously. It was a whole suite. But I took one armchair and had it completely covered, little pieces put in around the... And I just absolutely love it. And it's like a statement piece in my living room now. But I think upcycling is not going anywhere, is it?
No, I think it's amazing. And like I said, you can go to, whether it's, you're blessed to get something from your own family or mother-in-law and father-in-law, but you can go to Max Warehouse and it's like, it's, there's history in it. You know, it's come from someone's family and there's auction houses. I mean, there's so many around Ireland. But I just think it adds character. Like my favourite style is mid-century modern and I love modern and I'm all for that. But bringing in, like we're Irish, like we're living in Ireland. It's full of history. You know, Yes. It's just, why would you not want to bring something like historic into your place, and as you said, upcycle it, so you know it's usable, and it like the fabric, for example, is new. You know, you don't want something that's, you know, absolutely destroyed either. So, and you even things like when I did the Salvage Squad, like sanding tables down or units and spraying them, like you can make them really modern. Like you don't have to keep it as, you know, as you got it. But I do think maintaining some of the integrity of the chair or the bit.
And can I ask you, Natasha, as a professional interior designer, yeah. I'm just wondering, I love that mid-century modern, I love the tone of it and I love the look and feel of it, but it kind of goes against the style of my house because it's a new house. Yeah. Can we have pieces like that in our homes, or are they kind of jarring with, you know, the modern surrounds of a new house?
I think you can. I think you can do it in subtle ways. And I think that's what I'm saying. Everything, I can say I love it, but it has to adapt to your house. So you could do something like even a console as you walk in.
Yeah.
And you could put in things like, you could get it sprayed, you know, if you wanted a different colour, and then the inside you could put wallpaper in to make it more stylish, or in the drawers, or, you know, like there's ways of doing things, or like putting wallpaper on the top and glass and then you could spray it. So it's still a mid-century piece. And then I think gold is very mid-century. So like adding some gold in and going for gold lighting and things like that, and just like mixing in very rich tones. It doesn't have to be like to the box. But I do think, like from an Irish point of view, I love to bring that in because for me, it's very old school history.
Yeah.
Bringing into your house, whatever capacity you can.
And it becomes a talking point, which I love.
Yeah,
it has
exactly.
A story.
Like the chair, I'm sure everyone loves the chair.
Yeah.
Cycled. So like that, you can, you know, do things like that.
Just one last thing, Natasha. The biophilic, am I saying that right? Design?
Yeah, biophilic.
Is that the outdoors in?
Yeah, absolutely. And like the same again, like people, I think, get panicked when they think of biophilic. They think they have to have like 400 plants, which
yeah.
Is fantastic.
An atrium.
Exactly, an atrium in your house. But I think the same again, it's like bringing in plants and, you know, bringing in, or like for me, it's about bringing in nature. Like I love anything, like I love going to places that have nature, whether it's a fountain or like a fireplace. I think you relax automatically. So it's the same style, whatever like the reality of your home, or the, you know, whether you've kids, you might not be able to have loads of plants, some might pull at them, or pets, but it's just bringing that earthy feel inside, whether it's terracotta pots and plants. And obviously you can do it on such a larger scale. But I also think like if you have the opportunity to open out your garden, you know, having the plants kind of at the door and just bringing it in, like bring outdoors, indoors with your patio and your choice of furniture. You know, you could have more kind of earthy chairs and like even cushions and stuff like that. But I think you can do it on such a larger scale. Like you can get your whole house like dark green, and you know, you can have all rattan chairs and tables. Like there's a way to do it on a larger scale. But even simple things like a couple of accessories or like a rattan rug or things like that, and lots of plants. I think for me, it's just about relaxing you and bringing that kind of earthy feeling into your house.
Yeah, we should want to spend time in our own home.
100%.
Rather than always kind of rushing out of it to go other places.
100%, yeah, and like everyone's so busy, and even at home, people are on their phones a lot. So I suppose when your room is designed to relax you, you've no choice. You
yeah.
know? Especially if there's wine nearby and stuff like that to chill you out. But, you know, I feel like genuinely, if you design your space, you have to think, if I'm working a lot and I have a busy family life, I need to design my home that I actually like, you know, for your mental health and your physical health, that you're going to chill out in it. So
yeah.
I think the biophilic element just naturally does that with candles and just kind of earthy fabrics and finishes.
Of course, it's good for you. It's good for your mind,
yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
In terms of trends, I know you're, you know, consulting in lots of different homes at the moment. There's lots of trendy colours out there. What are you seeing that you think will last?
To be honest, I always think the classic colours. Like I always think rich colours, like, you know, dark green, sage greens. I mean, grey is always like, a safe colour. But I like the dark greys, and I love blue at the moment. I'm very into kind of blue, like a rich blue.
Inky kind of blue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Inky blue. And pink is, I think since the Barbie movie, everyone loves pink. Like, I never saw it a lot before that movie, and I don't know if that's the influence of it. But like a soft pink, like pastel pinks, like just bringing that into bathrooms and things like that. And then monochrome, I think, is really stylish. It's very like Mediterranean, like very kind of...
Very chic.
Very chic, yeah.
Yes.
And navies and blues. But for me, I think very rich tones. You know, all that kind of...
Natasha, I'm going home to change my whole house and to visit over. Max Warehouse.
Oh my God, you have to go, Anna. I'm obsessed.
I will.
I'm obsessed.
I might be there this afternoon.
Oh my God.
The best daddy ever got. Natasha Rocket Divine, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Now, thank you for putting up with me this morning, standing in for Sinead. I've been Anna Daly. Thank you to producer Aisling Lynch. Stephen McClune was on sound. Have a great weekend. And remember, we're here every Saturday at 8 a.m.
The Home Show with Sinead Ryan. Saturday morning at 8 on News Talk.